Hi, everyone. I'm Dan Albers, and welcome to the Countdown to Kickoff brought to you by Roselot Financial. And I'm joined by former football player of the Anderson Redskins and Nate Cosman. Nate, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Nate, just we always ask the guys to talk about the year they graduated, their number and position they played, so you can let everybody out there know that.
Sure. I was on that 92 team, graduated in 93, played linebacker and tight end, wore number 84, captain. All that good stuff.
So I've talked about this with several guys before. I think arguably, for me, I've seen both teams play. I've seen the state championship team play, and I've seen your team play. I still feel like your team is the best team in Anderson High School history. Some people might argue with me with that, but overall, I think you guys had everything where the state championship maybe was stronger than one or the other. I mean, I'm sure. What do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, they're both great teams, I think, and I think it's tough to compare. I mean, it was a different era a little bit, but there definitely was a lot of good players in that era. Yeah, I think there was five Division I kids in our class, and a couple right behind us, and a couple right after that. So, I mean, you had a span of 3 or 4 years there. We probably had 10, 12 kids go play football somewhere. And just a great time. It was exciting, too, because it was a kind of, you could see everybody, you could see the program ascending from, you know, what was a pretty bleak time. So it was a special time, I think.
I played right before you did. I played in 86. And like you said, the times were very, very bleak. Didn't have a lot of people there. Just the excitement here in school and the community, it was pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was something I would say that my class believed would happen. We were confident, probably cocky, and really never lost in youth football or junior high or freshman, and just went in to a couple of classes that were the year before me and the year after, or in the year before that. You know, they were improved, and it just kind of all gelled together, and community got behind it. The pep rallies were exciting. You know, everybody was talking about Anderson football in the paper because it was something new and fresh, and it was, you know, just real exciting time. With, you know, obviously Coach Siriano, really dynamic personality, really helped promote the program and get the whole, you know, the kids in the program excited about being a Redskin. So it was pretty cool.
Talk a little bit about that. I had the opportunity to coach with Coach Soriano for 1 year. Yeah. I thought I knew football, and I really did not know football at all. Talk a little bit about what his mentality was and what he meant to. Obviously, he has made Anderson football what it is today.
Yeah. I think Coach's mentality was far beyond football. I think he talked about being a man and character and you know, really taught a lot of life lessons and talked to the kids about doing all the right things and when no one was watching and getting in the weight room, and it just transformed everything. And you know, I think a lot of us talk about Coach and we look back on those times and think about lessons every day that we learn, but from a football standpoint, I mean, you're absolutely right. In the short time I was at Miami University, those coaches would talk about Coach Siriano coming and coaching them up in clinics, and coaches that were recruiting me and everything like that would talk about Coach Siriano and how impressive he was, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But he was so smart because he got good defensive coaches too,
right.
And we really focused on defense. And so, I mean, that tells you something about him. As smart of an offensive guy as he was, to focus so much on defense says a lot about him as well.
And you guys, you know, your junior year, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong or not, but I think, didn't you guys play Norwood your junior year, and it was a big, big game, and I was getting ready to ask you name some guys that you've played against or played with, and I'm sure Mark Edwards has to be up there.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mark's on the top of the list, and my junior year, they got us at Norwood. It was the only game we lost, and back then, only four teams made the playoffs, so, you know, if you lost that one game and you were a smaller Division I school playing other smaller schools, the Harbin points weren't there, so we got eked out of the playoffs on that game. And personally, Mark got the best of me in that game. I believe it was a 92-yard touchdown run where he ran directly over me. So my whole focus between my junior year and my senior year was to kind of get back at Norwood and get back at Mark, and luckily I had a chance and put my head on the ball late in the game, and caused a fumble in the fourth quarter that kind of sealed the victory in a lot of ways. So, that was probably my best memory at Anderson, and definitely the best player I ever played against, Mark was.
Was there any other guys that you can think of right now that stick out?
Well, Princeton had a great group. We played Princeton that year, and they had, I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now, but they had a great linebacker, great D lineman, a couple great D linemen. One of them, I think, was Agonon of Brookins, mm-hmm. went somewhere, and Zach Sweeney went and played at UC, and of course St. Xavier had Scott Solman,
right.
who played at Notre Dame,
right.
and had a great, great baseball player, great football player. So we played against a lot of great guys. But truthfully, another guy I'd mention would be Taft's quarterback, Donye Ridley.
Yes.
He wasn't necessarily the most polished football player, but he was one of the most impressive athletes that I saw. I mean, I think I saw him throw the ball about 70-something yards that game. Truthfully, the best football players I saw were on my side. I mean, we had a bunch of good ones. And I think the guys that are in the Hall of Fame, well-deserved, like Druso and Joe Dunn, certainly. And even some of the younger guys from our team, like Jake Andriadis, was a sophomore. We played against him every day. And him playing scout team really helped us develop into a great defense. So. A bunch of great. I could go on all day. Jeff Hass and Jamie Mons and Fred Woods. I'm probably missing some guys, and if they listen to this, they'll be upset. But that whole group. Well, and then of course you had the two juniors on that team that both went D1. Jeremy Stratt went to Kentucky, and Chris Haywood went to Kent. So we just had a collection of big, strong, fast guys that were willing to work hard and stay out of trouble. And a lot of that was probably because of Coach Siriano. But it just kind of, and that's the one thing I would say. Not only was Coach such a strong leader and dynamic guy, but we had a bunch of leadership on that team too. Jason Bell, he'll hear this for sure, and he'll say, "What'd you say that for?" But great quarterback, not the best athlete in the world, but he was a great quarterback because of his leadership, and
right.
he knew what everybody was supposed to be. So. We just had so many leaders on that team that really kept the whole thing going forward.
The one thing that I always remember, too, is the pep rally that Vince had before the Harrison game.
Sure.
And then the other two games, like you already brought up, the Princeton game and then the St. X game.
Yeah.
Those are two games that I will always, always remember in Anderson High School history. And you were part of both those. And it had to be unbelievable for you to be in front of a crowd at Galbraith Field and seeing all those fans there.
Yeah, I mean, it was packed house. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the St. X game moved to Galbraith from St. X because they were the higher seed because of capacity reasons.
Right.
And there were still people lined up around the field, and it was pretty exciting atmosphere for sure. The week before at Middletown, though, was when we played Princeton.
In the snow.
It was a snowy game, and that was one to remember because we came out on the right side, of course. But it was also that surreal night with the snow falling. And it was funny because we went in the locker room and decided we weren't wearing any undershirts. And we walked out, no undershirts. And, of course, back then we had all the crop-top jerseys. And Princeton comes out, and they got long, knee-length parkas on, fur-lined. Getting snuggled up, and we were getting ready to play football, and we knew right then we were going to beat them. So, those were definitely some special games that I think even the current coaching staff talks about those games with the kids and stuff, and that's what was so important was to develop that tradition. So.
Well, and tell me just real two quick things is you had to break a myth. I don't know the whole story, but the Princeton game at the end of the game, did you change Coach Soriano's mind? Because I think he was going to kick it, I thought, or not go for it or whatever, and I think you guys convinced him to go for it, right?
That's a fact. And Coach Soriano, actually, recently we were kind of debating about this, and he didn't remember it that way, but that's the way all us players remember it. And the funny thing was, if you ever watch that film, there's a lot of confusion there at the end. And we had a set, I believe it was called Thunder Pigs, where we went two tight ends and a big backfield. And we were originally going to be in that, where I'm in at tight end. And today's rules, we would have been flagged on that because
really?
We broke the huddle with 12. They had changed the call on the sideline. And Jason Bell, that's another example. Jason Bell recognized as we broke the huddle, we had 12, and he ran me off the field, so I look like I screwed up. But I blame I blame Randy Corbett. So I hope he hears that.
And then also the call against St. X. You guys had a first down. I don't care what anybody says.
It sure looked like it, but you know, we should have never been in that position. We put ourselves at I don't know if you recall, but right before halftime, they had a play that we had worked on, and I believe his name was Kevin Ritter, played fullback for St. Xavier, and he broke one up the middle for about 30 yards on us, and that was the difference in the game. It would put us down two scores, and we battled back to get to a spot where if we would have got that first down, I believe wholeheartedly we would have beat them, and really would have had a fairly easy path to the championship game at that point. Obviously, you got to play the games, but I think St. X won 35-0 the next 2 weeks. Yeah.
They
lost to St. Ignatius, but the footnote there is Doxie, Solman, and Ritter were all injured out of that game.
Oh, wow.
And so they were playing with a bunch of sophomore backfield, and their stars were all out, and they got beat, but who knows what would have happened.
Right.
But yeah, that was a tough way to lose a hard-fought game, and I think really would have put us on the map, you know, not just locally, but across the state. And, you know, I think both – there were several nationally ranked teams that year from Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. You might not believe this, but I think Elder opened up the season at the USA Today, number one.
Oh, wow. That year they did?
And they didn't win the GCL or make the playoffs. So that's how tough Cincinnati football is and was. And I believe when we played Princeton, they were nationally ranked and had beaten Moeller the week before. So definitely a competitive region. And if we could have came out of that region, we would have really had something to brag about. But
yeah, talk about, you know, you and I both, you know, obviously play, but it's pretty special to watch our high school win a state championship. That was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't make it up there for that game, but we threw a little party at one of Bob Deck's bars. And we must have had 50 Anderson grads there for it. And, you know, even though a lot of the guys didn't know any players on that team, everybody, you know, is all in. And that's what you're going to see again as this program continues to improve. I mean, everybody's asking questions. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Everybody's interested in what's going on, who's the new coach, how they doing, you know, and as they, you know, make it to the playoffs and go advance in the state playoffs, you're going to see that kind of excitement again. I think people are still hungry for it.
Yeah, talk about, you know, for you, double investment here for you, I guess, if you want to call it, as your son is playing on the team. So that's got to be exciting for you, too, as well as a dad, a former player, to watch your son play in the same field you did.
Well, yeah, and I'm real proud of Max. He's had, maybe a tough start to his junior season. He's been moved around a little bit, but I don't know, maybe needed a kick in the butt a little bit, but see him progressing, and now he's playing my old position, outside linebacker.
Really?
He's
good.
He's a backup currently, but had a great, you know, playing, so as a backup, he's playing more on Saturdays and Fridays, but had a great game on Saturday. He had, you know, 20-something tackles,
good.
And so it's good to see him progressing and gaining confidence. So obviously proud, you know, he's got myself and his uncle and
right.
a lot of ties to the program. Everybody's rooting for him. But the other thing for me is I coached a lot of these kids in youth football. So Amadeus Jones and Kyle Riley and Ryan Faraday and Jake Campbell and Sean Schaefer and missing somebody. Oliver Madrill played corner on Friday night. So it's really neat to see those kids too, because I feel like they're all, you know, sons as well. So it's a lot of fun right now for me.
And talk also about, I don't think people understand, like, you know, you graduated in 93, I'm 86. We got a lot of guys that are spread throughout all over the years. You know, Randy Corbett's 83, Tony Diana's 80, but we're all, it's if you think, it's almost like a fraternity if you think about it.
Yeah, well, you've done an awesome job with the Alumni Association, bringing those people together, and that's something pretty special. That I don't think you find that, you know, down the road at Turpin or McNitt
right.
to the same degree that you're seeing it here. I don't think you see it at a lot of schools. You certainly get it at Moeller or St. Xavier, but that's something that I think everybody needs to get involved in. And it's not all, you know, come talk glory days or anything
right.
It's just, you know, sometimes it's good to go out and go to the golf outing and have a beer. And that, again,
just what you said, I appreciate you saying it, but also for you, being a big sponsor of our golf outing and our broadcasts and the Players of the Year, you do every year, and that is a huge thing to get our golf outing going. And I appreciate, and I think a lot of guys do appreciate, everything that you guys, that your company and you have done over the years, and we really appreciate it.
It's something that I was raised to believe is, you know, when you get something out of something, you give back to it. And right out of the gate, after graduation, I was fortunately asked to be on the Field of Dreams committee, which was cool because I was like one of the youngest guys going around asking for donations and all that to get this field built. And just kind of continued from there where, you know, I feel like I got out a lot out of this place and I need to give a lot back. And at that time, you know, I didn't know if I was going to have a kid here or anything that. So it just is. And there's a lot of guys like that. I'm not patting myself on the back. It's neat to see.
But I don't think people understand what you do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people outside, maybe that are listening away, you know, in another state, that's what I want them to understand is that you've really, honestly, you've made our golf outing what it is because of what you've done.
Well, that's because I can't golf, so I just got to write a check. That's all I can do. So, yeah. But thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that.
And you know, just talk a little bit about that. We'll get into this year and we'll kind of wrap this up. But this year, very exciting team. First two games, they score a bunch of points.
Sure.
Struggle a little bit on defense, but talk a little bit about what your thoughts are so far this year.
Yeah. Well, I've been impressed with probably the most impressed I've been is with the offensive line this year.
Exactly.
There's a couple of sophomores with Correll and Stone that have really stepped up. And then Wilkins and the seniors, Browning and McCafferty, really, really done a great job. And then obviously you got to tip your hat to Jay, that quarterback has put up some better than expected numbers. I mean, he's really, and you can see him improving every week. So, yeah, offensively and the receivers, I read a stat last week. I think we had six of the top eight receivers in the conference.
Yes, we do.
And so, offensively, it's easy to see. But what's also impressive is you're seeing the defense improve. I think, against Kings, the score might not have showed it, but the front seven played really well, and you just see them getting better.
Right.
And I think by the end of the year, you're going to see a much different unit out there. So, I don't know what they're doing in practice every day, but it seems like they're heading in the right direction. So.
Yeah, and I had you do something for us. We did an alumni night here, and you got to talk to the kids before the Minute game. Talk a little bit about that. The kids, were they kind of listening, not listening? Do they understand the history and the tradition of what we have here at Anderson?
Yeah, I mean, you never know what they want to hear.
Right.
They know anything about it, but, you know, I stood up there and had a couple things I thought I'd talk about, and it's like they're all staring at you. Coach has got an awesome atmosphere going here, Coach Dreyer, because the kids were excited. They were respectful. They came up afterwards and shook your hand.
Good.
It was that's a neat thing that you're doing with getting alumni back to talk to them, especially in those rivalry weeks.
Yeah.
So I have no clue if I said anything that resonated, but the main thing that I tried to convey to them was, you know, that these are special times and that in this community 25 years from now, you're going to walk into a place and you're going to shake hands and see one of those guys.
Yep.
You both know who won the game.
Yep.
So you better come out on top. So, and they looked great that night. I doubt anything's to me, but...
Well, they won, so they scored 61 points, so it must have worked.
Yeah, you put 61 points at any time, you're probably going to come out on top, right?
Yeah, one last thing is just talk, like, I asked some of the guys, I had Ben Osborne, some of these other guys that played, and asked them, if you were talking, you obviously did already, but talk, what would you say to some of the kids about what it meant for you to be an Anderson Redskin and what it means for you, as you, like you said, later on in life, what does it mean?
Well, I think we kind of touched on it before, but it's where the program came from. It's never been easy at Anderson. to just, you know, put on the helmet, go out there and win. It's something that had to be built, and unfortunately kind of went back the other way a little bit, but now they're going through that again, and it's something a lot more special about it when it had to be, you know, worked for and worked towards and built up, and something they can be real proud of when they come out on that side. So, yeah, that's what it meant to me to be a Redskin. That's why I think I'm so proud of our class and the classes before me and after me was, you know, and it just didn't come easy. You know, I think if you go to back then Princeton or, you know, obviously Moeller or St. X, every year you're going to win. And at Anderson, it just wasn't the case. So you had to, for us to go from where we were to, I believe at one point Anderson had a 22-year run there where they had, I was told they were winning this public school program in Cincinnati. So that's pretty special, you know, to come from 0-10 seasons and 1-9 seasons.
I've been through those.
Yeah, so, you know, and so I kind of feel like we're back on track where, that's, you know, going at least the kids have the attitude. It looks like they can get it back on the right direction.
Well, again, I appreciate everything that you do for us. And not only you, but your wife, too. She helps me out with the football moms, and they're just absolutely wonderful. So without you guys, that's what you guys really made the program. So I really appreciate taking the time to join us.
Appreciate you having me.
That's Nate Cosman joining us here on the pre-game show brought to you by Roselawn Financial. We'll be back with game action right after this.